The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, what a very odd game last night, mostly from the New Orleans Saints. Offensively, they are such a weird-ass team. They've got a lot of talent on that offense, but they just can't seem to get it going. You've got Derek Carr yelling at people basically after every single drive, and they just couldn't get anything going, but they did eventually towards the end of the game because it was pretty much all Jacksonville all night. Until about the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter. That's when New Orleans really started to put it together. They scored a couple of touchdowns, got everything locked up at 24. But then Jacksonville was just able to drive it right back down the field, get another score, and they would eventually go up 31-24. And New Orleans would actually drive it down the field. Once again, they got into scoring position. But the Jacksonville defense was just able to hold it down, and Jacksonville ended up walking away with the win 31-24. Trevor Lawrence had a great night, 20 for 29, 204 yards, one touchdown. He also had 59 rushing yards, which was a big deal just because we didn't know if he was going to play last night because he had a knee injury, and it didn't look like that affected him at all whatsoever in last night's game. Travis Etienne had two touchdowns, so this guy, he just keeps being a huge source of offense for them. And like I said, their defense held it down when they needed to hold it down, and they got the big win in New Orleans. And it really was just too little too late from the New Orleans Saints. Like I said, offensively, they were just terrible until until they started to get on a roll and ended up tying the game. But they just are so... I mean, I knew it was going to be a struggle for them offensively because, you know, when you're implementing a new quarterback... It takes time to get things going. And so I'm not really shocked at their struggles, but at the same time, it's just kind of like, yo, you've got a lot of talent on that offense and it doesn't seem to be getting utilized, but it is still pretty early on in the season and they do have a really good defense. So I just kind of feel like they'll get it going as the season rolls on. But that was a very odd game. It's just been an odd season for them offensively so far. So let's move on to the rest of week 7 and what we've got going on this weekend. In my head-to-head matchup with my homie Simon Ruvakaba, we both went 10-5 last week, and so we're still tied up. We're both at 58-35 on the season, so we do have a couple of differences in picks this week. Not a lot. It looks like only like two, maybe three differences in opinion this week, so looks like we're going to be close regardless of what happens. But both of us picked Jacksonville last night. I had Jacksonville winning 21-17, and then he also had Jacksonville winning 19-9. So we're both 1-0 on week 7 so far. So let's see where we are for the rest of the week. Beginning with the Las Vegas Raiders at the Chicago Bears. This is probably going to be one of the worst games of the weekend just because we're going to have no Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback for the Raiders, and it's looking like Justin Fields is more than likely not going to play this weekend either. They haven't announced it yet, but he's doubtful. Usually when you're doubtful, that's never a good thing. Also, he broke the thumb on his throwing hand, and the thumb is probably, out of all the fingers that you have on your throwing hand, your thumb is actually probably most important, like legitimately. I've obviously never played quarterback, so I don't 100% know that. But if I'm just gripping a football, I kind of feel like the thumb is the most important finger you need to toss a ball. So I doubt he's playing this weekend. So it's going to be backup quarterback central this weekend in Chicago. Also, neither one of these teams are really good either. I mean, Chicago's absolutely dreadful, and the Raiders, they have found zero identity, and they're just in such disarray, but I just think that they're slightly better. I mean, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that's where their bread and butter has been, especially the last couple of weeks. So I think they'll take care of business on that side of the ball. I think this is going to be a very odd game where it's just mostly field goals, And so I've got the Raiders winning 19-3, and Simon also has the Raiders winning 24-10. Then we have the Cleveland Browns at the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, the Browns are a 2.5-point favorite. And, you know, Deshaun Watson isn't really expected to play, so still continues to be a big fucking loser as he's been doing as a Cleveland Brown so far. But other than that, I mean, the Browns have an excellent defense. I mean, hands down, excellent defense, but their offense is just terrible. So I'm not convinced they're going to walk into Indy and even really come close in this one. As a matter of fact, Indianapolis has been a very odd team as well. I mean, they've pretty much been in every game they've played this season. They haven't really got their ass kicked just yet. But I just feel like Cleveland is just terrible. And even though their defense is really good, their offense is just terrible. So I'm going Indianapolis in this one, and I actually think Indy's going to pretty much dominate them from start to finish. I've got Indy winning this one 20-10. This is one of the few games that Simon and I disagree on. He's got Cleveland winning 24-16. Then we have the Buffalo Bills at the New England Patriots. Right now the Bills are a 9.5-point favorite. I mean, really, the Patriots are terrible. They are one of the worst teams in the league, especially offensively. And now they've suffered big losses to their best defensive players. So this team is just going to continue to spiral as the season goes on. And while Buffalo has had its offensive struggles, this is an excellent team to get right back on track against, especially, it's really weird to say that about the Patriots, but it's true. This team is so bad that Buffalo's bound to have a good game against them. And so I think Buffalo is going to trounce New England 24-13. And Simon basically thinks the same thing as I do. He's got Buffalo winning 27-13. Then we have the Washington Commanders at the New York Giants. Right now, the Commanders are a 2.5-point favorite. Now, this is a division matchup. So I think it's going to be one of those. Most people are looking at Washington. Absolutely, Washington is the better team than the Giants. But for me, it's a division matchup. So I'm expecting it to be close. I'm expecting the Giants. You know, the Giants actually showed a little bit of heart in the last game. I'm not sure if Daniel Jones is going to be playing in this one, but to me, it doesn't really matter. Washington is not that good. They really haven't shown much fight at all this season. I mean, they've had their moments, but overall, they're just a very mediocre team. So not only is this a division matchup, but it's two pretty bad teams facing off against each other. So it should actually be a pretty close matchup. I think it's probably going to be one of those that comes down to the wire, maybe a last second field goal, game winning drive, something like that. But I have the Giants finally getting another win on the season. I've got them winning a close one, 17-14. This is another one that Simon and I disagree on. He's got Washington winning 20-12. Then we have the Atlanta Falcons at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Bucs are a 2.5-point favorite. Atlanta's just terrible, especially on the road, so I really don't expect this to be a good game at all. I kind of feel like Tampa's going to come right out and just score a lot of points and just dominate defensively. And I've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning in an ass-kicking 31-13, and Simon feels the same. He's got Tampa Bay winning 27-17. Then we have the Detroit Lions at the Baltimore Ravens. I feel like this is going to be probably the game. There's another game of the week as well. There's two really, really good games this week. This is definitely one of them. Two damn good teams. Right now, Baltimore's favored by 3.5. Detroit's coming in really, really hot. Baltimore, they've had their moments, but defensively, this team is really, really good. And I just kind of feel like this is going to be a battle in the trenches between two really good defenses, two really good offensive lines. But I'm going to go Baltimore in a close battle. I just feel like they're at home. I feel like the Lions might be kind of due for a loss here. And I've got Baltimore winning a real close battle, 23-20. Simon and I disagree on this one as well, but he looks like he thinks this is going to be a close battle as well. He's got Detroit winning in overtime, 30-27. Then the afternoon games, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Los Angeles Rams. Right now, the Rams are a 3.5-point favorite. The Steelers offensively, to me, are the absolute worst team in the league when it comes to offense. Defensively, they are a killer, and that's the only reason why they have the couple of wins that they do. The Rams, on the other hand, they seem to be finding their way. I mean, offensively, they do have some weapons. Cooper Kupp finally had his big breakout game of the season last week. They still have Puka Nacua, who's been having a great season. Unfortunately, their running back, Kyren Williams, he suffered an injury in the last game, so he's going to miss, it looks like, the next 3 to 4 weeks, something like that. So they did suffer a loss at running back, which is a huge deal because Williams has been just smashing it and getting them the big touchdowns when needed. So we'll see if that becomes a factor in this one. Defensively, they actually look pretty good too. So I actually think the Rams are going to roll over the Steelers 29-7. And Simon also has the Rams winning this one. He has a close win, Rams winning 16-13. Then we have the Arizona Cardinals at the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, the Seahawks are an 8.5-point favorite. Arizona's just terrible. And the Seahawks, they've been playing really well. And I feel like they're at home. I feel like this is a game they're going to just roll over because, you know, they lost a close one last week. Probably left a bad taste in their mouth, and they're just going to take it out on Arizona. Good get-right game here. So I've got Seattle winning 30-10. And Simon also has Seattle winning 23-17. Then we have the Green Bay Packers at the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Packers are a 1.5-point favorite. Both of these teams, I feel like the Packers have a little bit more of an identity than the Broncos, but I feel like both of these teams are kind of in similar situations where you can't really trust them to win, but you know they've got a shot at it. I feel like this is going to be a very odd game and a very close game as well because they're two, like I said, two very similar teams. And I feel like it's just going to be one of those really close battles that comes down to the last second of the game. I do have the Packers winning 17-16, and Simon has the Packers winning a close one as well, 27-21. Then we have the Los Angeles Chargers at the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, the Chiefs are a 5.5-point favorite. Offensively for the Chiefs, it's been very odd. They've been getting some ugly wins here and there, but they're still winning, so you can't take it away from them. The Chargers, on the other hand, are doing exactly what the Chargers do. They have a good team, but they just aren't able to get the big wins when necessary. And until they do that, I can't really take them. And, you know, Mahomes is actually really good against teams with losing records. As a matter of fact, I believe he's undefeated. So that doesn't bode well for the Chargers since they're 2-3 right now. That means they're under 500. And so when you see a statistic like that, yes, stats don't play the game, but it just kind of is what it is in this situation. And I feel I just trust the Chiefs a lot more than I trust the Chargers. I do think it's going to be a close game, but I've got the Chiefs winning 20-17. Simon also has the Chiefs winning a close one, 27-24 in overtime. Then the Sunday night football game, which is the other major game of the week, the Miami Dolphins at the Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, the Eagles are a 2.5-point favorite. Miami's just been lighting everybody up offensively, but they did get manhandled defensively by the Bills, and they have a good defense. The Eagles also have a good defense, one of the top defenses in the league. They're forcing turnovers, they're getting sacks, and they are getting the job done. I feel like that's going to happen this week. I think the Miami Dolphins are going to, I think the Eagles defense are going to make the Dolphins offense ineffective this week. And I feel like they're going to force some turnovers. And I think they're going to make it a really, really difficult game for the Dolphins. Eagles are also coming off of a loss, a bad loss last week. So I kind of feel like they're just going to be ready to get going in this one. I think it's going to be a close game, but I feel like the Eagles defense is really going to put one on them this week. And I've got the Eagles winning a close one, 21-17. Simon also has the Eagles winning a close one, 42-40. He just feels like it's going to be a lot more of a high-scoring game. Just for me, I feel like the Eagles defensively, really, really solid. Offensively, they have a lot of work to do, but they're still damn good. They're still one of the top teams in the NFC. They're still one of the most talented teams. And really, I've said it about Miami. I think they're a good team, but they've got to prove it to me. And this is a prove-it game. And I can't pick them until they prove it. So let's see what they do this week in Philadelphia against their damn good defense. And then Monday Night Football this week is the San Francisco 49ers at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Niners are a 7.5-point favorite. Vikings just are terrible. They have no identity at all. They haven't been able to get it going at all. Whereas the San Francisco 49ers just have looked like the best team throughout 7 weeks so far. So I can't take Minnesota in this one. I've got San Francisco winning a big 31-20. And Simon also has San Francisco winning big in this. Well, not big, but he's got them winning 27-20. And then we have a few teams on bye weeks this week. The Cincinnati Bengals, My Dallas Cowboys are letting me rest for this week. I get to just sit pretty and enjoy all the football games this week. No anger, no excitement, just watching football. Then the Titans, the Jets, the Panthers, and the Houston Texans are all also on a bye. So we got a lot of teams on bye weeks this week. Let's move on to the ALDS and the NL. The ALCS and the NLCS. Like, whoa. The championship series, they have finally gotten good. You know, at first it looked like Texas and Philly were just going to roll over their opponents, and Houston finally stepped up like I figured they would. I mean, there was no way this team was going away. But Arizona is also showing some fight as well. So let's start off with the ALCS Game 3. Houston got the big win in Arlington, 8-5. Altuve had a home run. I mean, he had a big game, but he had a home run. Basically everything, even the balls that were outs, he was hitting them deep. That dude is something else when it comes to the postseason. And then, of course, Yordan Alvarez, he batted .407 in the game and had two RBIs. I don't know why we're not giving Yordan the Barry Bonds treatment. If you know what that is, that means you're just walking the dude. Back in the day when Barry Bonds was cranking and yanking everybody out of the parks, he would just get walked a lot because basically when he'd come up to the plate, it'd just be a home run. That's kind of what it is with Alvarez. I don't understand how we're still pitching to Yordan Alvarez because the dude is money. And so far, I mean, the entire playoffs, he's been money. But in this series, he's not only hitting home runs, but he's also getting those like nice little singles, nice little doubles. He's getting the runs, man. He's just having a great series so far. And then in Game 4, it still continued. As a matter of fact, Game 4, Houston opened up a can of whoop-ass on the Texas Rangers. They won 10-3. Yordan killed it. Alex Bregman killed it. Jose Altuve killed it. And Mauricio Dubon, he's had a good couple of games as well. So, Houston is showing out like they should. We've got Game 5 tonight in Arlington. So we'll see what happens there, who breaks the tie. But this has been an absolutely great series to watch. And it's going to be interesting to see how it comes down. But why are we pitching to Yordan Alvarez? That guy is just crushing motherfuckers like no other. And they keep pitching to him. I mean, I love Yordan Alvarez. The guy is just an excellent baseball player. He's fun to watch, in my opinion, but pitching to that dude is just the dumbest shit ever, because chances are he's getting on base, whether you're walking him or whether he's hitting that, crushing that ball. Then in the NLCS Game 3, last night, Arizona just barely got by. They got the win 2-1. Phillies have the 2-1 lead right now going into Game 4. Ketel Marte had the big walk-off in the ninth inning last night. It was tied up. First of all, let's talk about the two starting pitchers. Ranger Suarez for the Phillies. And it's hard to always pronounce this guy's last name because of the spelling, but I believe it's Fod is his last name. Both of those guys pitched out of their mind. Neither one of them were letting anybody on base. Neither one of them had an earned run. And basically nobody scored until they took those two out of the game. And even when they were taken out of the game, it was still very tight. And like I said, Marte ended up getting the walk-off single in the ninth inning. So good for the Arizona Diamondbacks. They really did show out yesterday because the first two games, it's been a can of whoop-ass from the Phillies. Game 4 is tonight. Actually, both the ALCS and NLCS will both be played tonight. Game 5 in the ALCS, Game 4 in the NLCS. So it's possible by Monday's show we could know who's going to the World Series. We'll see. But both of these series, they look pretty tight. Arizona, not as much. You know, I felt like Houston was going to step it up. They're the defending champs, and they're just excellent when it comes to the postseason. So I knew they would get something going against the Rangers. The Diamondbacks, though, I wasn't too sure about them. But they did get at least one win so far, and we'll see what they're able to do tonight. Now let's move on to my NBA season predictions and the last two divisions I have on tap. For the Western Conference, I have the Northwest Conference or Northwest Division, and then in the Eastern Conference, I have the Southeast Division. So let's go ahead and begin with the Northwest Division and let you know how I feel like that's going to turn out. Number one, of course, Denver Nuggets. They are the defending champs. They have Nikola Jokic returning. They have Jamal Murray returning. Their entire team pretty much is returning. And so, I mean, what is there to say? What are they going to lose? I mean, Jokic is playing basically the best basketball he's ever played. And he's been doing it for, what, four-ish, five-ish years now? So I don't see them stopping. And I mean, they're the defending champs. So, I mean, of course I'm going to pick them to win their division. Also, their division overall is pretty bad. It's got a lot of weak teams, especially the bottom three. So finishing in second place in the Northwest Division, I have the Minnesota Timberwolves. I just think they have a really good core with Gobert, Towns, Anthony Edwards, and Mike Conley. I think that's a very good core right there. It's just, are they going to be able to put it together? Last year, they really had their struggles, but these are four really damn good guys. I mean, Mike Conley, he's been really good his entire career. I mean, he's been a journeyman, but everywhere he lands, he's a huge piece, and I feel like he's just great for them. Gobert, Towns, and Anthony Edwards, they're all three really talented guys. All three could score a lot of points, and then you got Gobert and Towns who could just rebound like no other, but they weren't able to put it together last year. So I feel like now that they've got last year behind them and then they had a whole offseason together, are they going to be a serious team this year? I don't know. I still feel like there's a lot of questions, and then, of course, they've got the defending champs in their division. But I do feel like they're going to get some good wins just because everybody else below them in their division is very mediocre. So let's move down to who I feel is going to finish in third place in the Northwest Division. I've got the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're a very, very young team, but these last couple of seasons, they've had a little spark towards the second half of the season. We do get to see Chet Holmgren. He was their first-round pick last year who ended up getting injured in summer league ball. And so he missed the entire season last year. So he's finally going to debut for the Thunder. So we get to see what he's all about. He was a very good college basketball player. Obviously, I personally had questions about him because he's very skinny. So it kind of feels like he's going to be injury prone. And, you know, he started off his rookie year injured. So that's not disproving what I feel about him. But I feel like he's going to add a nice spark to this team, which already had a spark last year. So I just kind of feel like the Thunder, they're going to be one of those teams that gets some really good, decent wins here and there and maybe fucks some shit up for other teams along the way. Then at number four in the Northwest Division, I have the Utah Jazz. They're just a team I have no idea about. They don't really have much going on. They don't really have a perennial player outside of Markkanen, but was that just a one-off season? And even so, there's just nothing really special about the Jazz. So who cares about the Jazz? And then rounding out the Northwest Division, I have the Portland Trail Blazers. They did add DeAndre Ayton, which I think is a good thing for them. And they did draft Scoot Henderson, who was one of the top draft picks this season. So they do have a lot of young, good talent there, but they were never able to put it together with Damian Lillard. So what makes me think they're going to put it together with those two? So I feel like the Blazers are really going to fall off a cliff this year and just have a really, really bad season. But hey, they'll get another good draft pick next year. Then moving over to the Southeast Division, this is another kind of weak division, which I feel like is going to be dominated by the Miami Heat. I think they're going to finish tops in this division. I mean, they went to the finals last year. They've actually just been pretty much a good team ever since Jimmy Butler was traded there. I mean, he's really turned this team around. He's exactly what the Miami Heat are all about. And he just keeps them in it every single year. I mean, they were a play-in team last year and went to the finals. Like, that's how freaking good they were towards the second half of the season. And then, you know, Adebayo had a great year. Hero had a great year. So I just kind of feel like until another team is able to dethrone the Heat in this division, it's going to be theirs for the taking every single season. Then finishing in second place, I have the Atlanta Hawks. I kind of went back and forth between them and the Hornets. Because I kind of feel like they're the same team. With the Hawks, Is Trae Young still unhappy there? I mean, this entire, last year, it was just noise all year. Trae Young wants out. Trae Young wants out. Then all offseason, it's like they're throwing out all these trade rumors about Trae Young going here, going there. And here we are to start the NBA season. The season starts in a couple of days, and Trae Young is still an Atlanta Hawk. Now, that could always change, especially towards the trade deadline. But is that going to be something that affects them throughout the year? Is he all in? Is he not? I think he's a good player. But if he's not all in, it's probably going to be a bad season for the Hawks. So until I can really believe in them, I can't take them. But I do think they're slightly more talented than the team that I've got finishing in third place in the Southeast Division, the Charlotte Hornets. I almost called them the New Orleans Hornets. The Charlotte Hornets. The thing about them is I don't know about them either. LaMelo Ball, excellent basketball player. He's definitely going to, you know, give them some good wins. But outside of him, they don't have much going on. That's why I actually went with the Hawks over them, because the Hawks do have more talent. And they are a better team. It's just more, if Trae Young's unhappy, I don't see them really being that good. Whereas the Hornets, you know, LaMelo's cool where he's at. And, I mean, he just seems to be getting better every season. And he is coming off of a bad injury, so who knows if that's going to affect him. But, I mean, outside of LaMelo, this is a very mediocre Hornets squad. And, you know, maybe they'll surprise us, but chances are they probably won't. Then finishing in fourth place in the Southeast Division, I have the Orlando Magic. They're just a very young squad, so you don't really know what you're going to get from them. You've got Paolo Banchero coming into his second season. He had a really good rookie year. He did get injured, so that kind of halted things a little bit. But, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what he does this season. And then you also have Jalen Suggs as well. So they have a really nice young core, but I think it's that comes with growing pains. And to be actually a legit team in this league, I feel like you need a little bit of veteran presence, and they don't really have it at all. And then rounding out the Southeast Division, I have the Washington Wizards. I actually feel like the Wizards are going to be one of the worst teams in the league, as a matter of fact. I wouldn't be shocked if they end up with the number one overall pick next year or are in that top three area. I just feel like they don't have much going on. They're not a really good team. They traded away their best player, Bradley Beal. So, yeah, I don't think much is going to be coming out of Washington this year. So that is how I feel the NBA season's going to turn out. I will make all my postseason predictions on Monday's show, including who I feel like is going to be the NBA champion. And then we've got NBA basketball tipping off next week. How fucking awesome is that? So enjoy the rest of the weekend of playoff baseball. Enjoy the college football and the pro football. And I will talk to you all on Monday.